Welcome to Queer Conversation. My guest in the studio is Jess Money. We'll talk about your journey of becoming a poet. You are also an artist. You do several different installations, and there is one particular installation which has got a queer theme.
At the Adelaide Biennale, it's going to be an installation of a song that I wrote as a part of World Pride that happened back in Sydney in February 2023. So as a part of World Pride, the Out Loud and Proud Choir Festival got in touch and they asked if I would write an anthem for all their choirs that were gathering from all around the world, one song that all the choirs would sing together. Yeah, in February at Town Hall, we had more than 400 chorallers assembled on the big stage, all singing this song that I wrote the lyrics to, or wrote the poem for, and Joseph Twist, who's a wonderful composer, he arranged the poem and set it to music. So it was this really, like, incredibly powerful and beautiful performance, and it kind of, you know, like any performance, it kind of then ended and it was this powerful, ephemeral thing. But when I was invited by the Adelaide Biennial to take part in the 2024 exhibition, the theme of the show is Inner Sanctum, and it's really about drawing on ideas of love and friendship and care and community. And so I thought I would revisit this song and see if there was a way to make that sense of being in a community choir, see if it could be turned into an experience that people could have in a gallery setting, because I think there's something just like so nourishing about hearing a choir and you feel like you're a part of something and feel cared for and feel really held. So yeah, that's what's going to be presented in Adelaide. It's going to be a series of suspended lanterns that are going to be hanging in the gallery space that are covered in this beautiful blue fabric. And inside each lantern is some light and a speaker. So it will create these very individualized moments of sound that when you're standing in amongst them is like being inside a choir, but you can still hear the individual voices.
When you experience a choir, 400, 500, 600 people, it gives you goosebumps, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would have been amazing to hear your words.
It was. It was like a totally transformative moment in my practice because as someone who writes poetry, I'm quite used to performing solo on a stage and that's really lovely, but it can be a bit lonely. And then to see this, I mean, that being the centre of attention, being the focal point, again, like I don't dislike it at all, but to sort of experience something where 400 people were inhaling as one and emoting across an audience of 1,000 people, it just was such a reciprocity and gift that I was just really obsessed with the experience. I really wanted to keep revisiting it and keep thinking about choirs. I ended up joining a community choir. After the performance, just because I think it's this really nourishing space that in Western society we've kind of abandoned a lot of those community spaces, and actually having a thing that, like, personally I'm not very good at and I do once a week is just like so, yeah, it keeps me, it feels really good. All the art I make is grounded in poetry in some way or in storytelling. I'm really interested in how stories can be made and narratives can be made into a space that can be embodied, or giving audiences an opportunity to have like a three-dimensional experience with story, because I think, you know, I'm an Aboriginal person. Story is a very oral, transmissible thing that is grounded in place. And so bringing together poetry and art to me sort of bridges those gaps and gives audiences an opportunity to kind of think deeply about space or place or personality or narrative and kind of be immersed in that world. So yeah, it is a funny intersection, but I feel very lucky to get to work in it. So I'm a Wiradjuri woman from the Murrumbidgee River, and it's everything in my work, you know. It's I can't separate myself from my art, and I can't separate myself from my identity as a queer person, as a First Nations person, as all the other things that make up our, you know, complex, beautiful lives. But I think everything I make is from that positionality and is an interrogation of the sort of stories that we tell about the world and about ourselves, and trying to introduce different lenses for audiences or for readers to see the world, to offer another perspective, which is, you know, mine.
The installation in Adelaide, is that your first queer installation, or have you been involved in the queer community?
A lot of poems that have queer themes, and I've performed at a lot of queer-centred events. But in terms of an artwork that really is directly speaking about the queer community, this would be the first, I think. And I guess something to say about the lyrics and the message of the song. When World Pride got in touch, and Out Loud and Proud got in touch about writing an anthem for World Pride, I kind of was very conscious of the fact that in the queer community we often, I think, are presented in this way that overemphasizes romantic and sexual relationships. I think that's something that's really emphasized from the outside looking in, but at least my experience is that is not really what defines this community in so many ways. I feel like that is obviously a really intrinsic element, but my experience is very much one that care and community and reciprocity and accepting people as they are and accepting people the way that they want to be understood is so much more foundational to a queer sensibility than strictly who you're sleeping with. So I wanted the song's lyrics to really really reflect that. So the song is really about like queer friendship and queer community and the influences that of friends and family that recognize us for who we are. I think the project in Adelaide is a real realization of this interest and inspiration and desire to work sort of collectively. I'd love to keep doing it. I have another project that I'll be launching in Melbourne next year around the same time as the Adelaide Biennale for an exhibition at the Immigration Museum called Joy. That also sort of takes these ideas of collective sounds and laughter, and it's really centred on a First Nations women sort of the calm and joy that happens in an unobserved space, and that's audio again of these sounds of like sort of singing and laughter, and that'll be installed in this kind of epic way. So it's just trickling into my work in lots of different ways, and it's exciting sort of seeing the way that these lines of inquiry sort of come out.
Fantastic. Well, good luck with that. It sounds like a really great installation. You must have a very solid profile as an artist for organization to come to you and ask you to write a song, to be invited in Adelaide, Melbourne, and so on. But let's just roll back a little bit and tell us, when did you first kind of feel that being a poet, being an artist is your journey?
Oh, I feel like I'm still figuring that out. My journey into sort of being a publishing poet and an artist that's, making stuff for institutions and whatever, it started very sort of slowly and piecemeal. I didn't study art and I didn't study poetry. I studied filmmaking and worked sort of in and around the film industry for years. including at an art museum in Sydney where I was an in-house videographer, which was really incredible because I was exposed to artists and curators and, you know, activists and thinkers constantly, which sort of was really inspiring the way that I think about art. And at the same time, I'd been writing poetry for years, but very quietly, you know, solo, in the same way that someone would journal. I was trying to journal, and I wasn't very good at it, so I would read back over the stuff and be like, I think this might actually be a poem. And so little bit by little bit, I sort of became more confident with my poetry writing and started submitting it for journals and prizes and whatever, the things, the way that poetry gets published basically in Australia. And it went pretty well, and I ended up winning an award, the David Unaipon Award from the State Library of Queensland in 2020, which is a manuscript prize. So I was able to develop and publish a manuscript that came out in 2021 called How to Make a Basket, and have another poetry collection coming out next year in 2024 with the University of Queensland Press, again, who also published my first book. And so, like, while writing poetry and doing this thing, I was just surrounded by an arts community, and it was really other people's idea. They were like, do you want to think about a way of how you could have a poem in an exhibition space? And it was a great invitation, and it still is a great invitation. So I make works in all sorts of ways, often responding to place and space and the histories of the place where the work is installed. But I've made things out of soil, pouring soil on the ground and illuminating poems through that. And I've made big banners that have hung off bridges, and works made of light that project and sort of float around the space. And I make a lot of video work, obviously, because, you know, I have a background in video making, and now moving into sort of audio and choral and how sound installation can happen. So whatever I can, whatever people will let me do, I'll usually give it a go.
You must have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Earlier you did say that you are working on something at the moment that you like to talk about. Is that your book that's coming out in 24, or is that another project?
Yeah, so I have another poetry collection coming out in 2024, which I'm really in the midst of trying to figure out at the moment, so it's really on my mind. But it's been this very lovely process to sort of be back in a writing mode after having spent a couple of years. I'm always writing, but spent a few years focusing more on art and film. I just had a feature film actually come out in November, which was a really, really big project as well with the National Film and Sound Archive. So it's been lovely kind of getting small and back onto the page and thinking about poetry in that very intimate way that only, I think really only a book can be, that very solo, very personal journey that a poet gets to have with a reader. And I love that I get to work in mediums that present poems in all different sorts of ways and in these sort of collective settings. But yeah, there's something very beautiful about the book as well.
Have you got something as an example?
That poem, I wrote it because I love Mardi Gras, because I think it's really important and really special. Mm. And the protest origins are so important. And I think, like, it's disrespectful to not honour the protest, you know, and to honour the sacrifices that, like, queer elders made. So this poem is called Mardi Gras Rainbow Dreaming, and I wrote it in 2021 when the Mardi Gras parade was happening in that kind of strange COVID world. When, do you remember that? It was at the stadium and it was ticketed, and the kind of brand element and commercialization of Mardi Gras really, to me, felt like it was at its peak. Mm-hmm. So this poem was written sort of in response to that. The BWS is now a BWYAS. as in yes, queen, as in yes, gay pride, as in yes, we co-opted this lingo from black queer communities on the other side of the world, as in beer, wine, spirits is now a place to drink down some black queer liberation on land stolen that locks up black queer bodies if maybe they've had a bit too much beer, wine, spirits, but won't lock up others who snarl as you walk down the street hand in hand with your miso on your way to have a drink. Gay-tiums. It's like an ATM, but it's gayer. Holds your hand after, but doesn't leave a number. Or maybe moves in on Tuesday. Or maybe pays for medication, yours or Nan's or someone else's. Or helps get some kid a mental health care plan to figure out why their body don't seem right, but won't grant rights, and won't write a check, and won't write to government about bodies that don't fit between two tick boxes, but will give you an option for a receipt. Thank you, see you next time. Don't forget your card, don't forget your cash, don't forget your yes, queen. And the Google map shows the route in rainbow to the stadium, where the executive gays and clever rich straights can have front row seats behind the gate to all the genuine gays and all those genuine straights who thought it would be so cute to be on the corporate float this year and march alongside the police, who would absolutely never systematically target the queer community and who are absolutely not built on a legacy of doing just that, and who absolutely don't uphold a colony that enforces an ideology that makes no space for non-normative bodies. Just ask the next lot. Oh yay, it's the Liberal Party. What a special day, what a lovely float. Thanks for spending all that money so everyone could have a vote. Instagram is for Mardi Gras, and Google is for Mardi Gras, and Absolute is for Mardi Gras, and Vodafone is for Mardi Gras, and Sydney is for Mardi Gras, a tourism campaign. And Mardi Gras is for profits under a rainbow banner that holds no one up but gives enough rope to make sure there is one version of a rainbow and it fits the gaze of execs who had to work so hard to be so correct and even went to their cousin's wedding. Yes, look, two grooms. And yes, look, this is what the community wants. And look, this is a community with cash. And look, money is for Mardi Gras, and Mardi Gras was a protest, but protest isn't sexy when it's hard or anti-excess, so you can wrap your bigotry in glitter and call it progress for the weekend. And none of these corporations speak up when they come for our rights. But hashtag love is love when everything is over, won and done. The blacks get down on a knee, and it doesn't make the broadcast. And the cops get run out, run on to, and it doesn't make the broadcast. And the community float gets their 30 seconds. And the corporate float gets their 70 seconds. And the protest for the march is the family event that gets run out, run on to by those cops who tried to block queer-loving protest. And on the walk home down Oxford Street dreaming, we get heckled and listen to others screaming. And men with iPhones ask us to kiss for their private archive. And strangers with long-range lenses take photos for who knows what archive. Not asking. Yes, queen. Mardi Gras dreaming. Sydney wears its corruptness, never fearing, and no need to shame your rum colony, feeding rum colony, breeding more cops who can run out, run onto those who can't afford to pay. Thank you, Sydney, for our special.